Begin transmission.
Hello, and welcome to another extraordinarily exciting episode of the Dubious Goals Committee. I'm your chairman and host, and somewhere around here, I've got an agenda. Here it is. And you're listening to Anon Radio. What's on the agenda today? I got into a weird conversation in Calm earlier today. I mean, when are we not in weird conversations in Calm? But in this particular conversation got me thinking about some new types of sports and why we don't have them. Then I started thinking about all the other sports that are related and why we don't have this one sport that I invented. What am I talking about, you ask? Well, see if you can follow this line of reasoning. Basically, I'm wondering why there are no arson-related sports. I mean, like, why are there no contests for burning things down? Right? Kind of making any sense here? Okay. Let's start with lumberjacks and lumberjack sports. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but if you can ever catch it, I highly recommend it. But there are lumberjack competitions. And in these competitions, lumberjacks, one of the contests is they have to climb a pole and then chop the top of the pole off, and they cut little notches for steps and they insert these steps. That's pretty cool. And they have a contest for sawing logs, both by hand and by chainsaw, which is really interesting. That they get two people on the ends of these saws and they go round, round, round. They try to cut through a 2 foot in diameter log as fast as possible. 2 feet being approximately 60 centimeters. And then there's the chainsaw business, and this gets nutty because these guys trick out their chainsaws. And I'm not saying they pimp their chainsaws. They don't put useless crap on them like gold rims and loud stereos. They tweak these chainsaws out to be as high as performance as possible. The most ridiculous things you've ever seen. I mean, these guys are cutting through, you know, foot thick logs, you know, 30 centimeter in diameter logs in less than 1 second. It just, wham! These things are super dangerous. And I find it super interesting. I also like the log rolling business where two lumberjacks get on a log that's floating in the water and then they spin it and try to knock the other guy off. That's a good game. I appreciate that entirely. Okay, so where am I going with this? Lumberjack sports. So we have this sport that's already essentially about chopping up firewood. This is a sport that's about chopping down trees, and I'm not going to get into how politically correct this is because I hate forest deforestation too. But, you know, we need wood. We got to build stuff. So we got lumberjacks who have a sport where they're just cutting up firewood. Okay, that's awesome. What happens to that firewood afterwards? Nobody knows. Okay, now we're going to get away from the lumberjacks for a minute, but stick a pin in it because we'll probably go back to that. There is another sport that is about stacking things, cup stacking. If you haven't seen cup stacking, go look for it now. Basically, kids take, I don't know, is it 10 or a dozen plastic cups, and then they have to stack them up on a table as fast as possible, and then unstack them, and then restack them again, and then unstack them. And there's some kind of rules, and it's all timed, and it's all about stacking cups in certain patterns, and you got to do so many patterns, and you do them as fast as you can, and whoever does them fastest, perfect, wins or something. I don't know what it is. Cup stackers. I call them cuppers. So we got a sport out there that's nothing other than just stacking things up. Just stacking a random unit, a plastic cup, up for no reason. Let's just stack some things. Okay, fine. So why can't we incorporate the stacking people with the lumberjack people and then add some other people. By that, I mean, once the lumberjacks have their sport and contest of chopping all the wood up, then the stackers can then go in and have their sport and play their game and have a contest and who can stack the wood up the best or the fastest or however they want to do it. And then, after the stackers are done having their fun and sport, then the arsonists come in and burn down what the stackers stacked up. And whoever burns it down the fastest wins. I mean, this is a really simple concept here, people. I don't know what to call this sport. Team arson? Because basically I'm imagining that, you know, you got like 4 or 5 guys, or girls, or maybe it's even mixed-gendered teams. I don't care. And maybe they have only a certain number of matches, and maybe a small quantity, say a liter or a quart of their favorite accelerant. and then somebody fires a gun. I'm like, just say go, and all the teams run to their stacked-up piles of whatever of wood. And they go nuts. But it occurs to me that this really isn't much of a spectator sport. Sort of. I mean, it sort of is. At first, it's kind of fun to watch everybody light the fires. But once that happens, then it's just up heli ya. And if you don't know what up heli ya is, ask a Scandinavian. So instead of people just standing around watching things burn, I guess we're going to have to give the teams something else to do. So suppose you got a 4-man team. You give one guy the accelerant, you give one guy the ignition source, you give one guy a backpack that has 2 big oxygen tanks in it, and he's got basically like a leaf blower, but all it does is blow pure oxygen. and then you get another guy. What's the other guy do? Maybe he's got a fan? No, what's he need? And so, yeah, once you got the fire going, then you got this guy who's just blowing pure oxygen into it, just trying to get that as hot as it'll go, just because. Remember, this is a timed event, and whoever's pile burns down fastest wins. It also occurs to me that if you're going to get the lumberjacks, the stackers, and the arsonists together, you might as well just keep adding people. You know, now that we've got a bunch of giant fires going, we might as well have, like, I don't know, a hot dog cooking contest or a marshmallow roasting contest, something of this nature, so that this perfectly good fire doesn't go to waste. Even better. Wait, here's a better idea. Invite the Spartan racers, and they can have their little Spartan race, and they can try to jump over some real fire, and instead they all fall into the flames, and oh, it really is becoming up heli ya. Hey, do you suppose SMJ celebrates up heli ya? I think he's some kind of Scandinavian of some flavor. Oh, I'll ask him the next time I see him. There just aren't enough fire-related sports in this world. We need to come up with some other ones, other than just, you know, burning things down. How else are you going to have a fire contest? I don't know, I guess who could make the prettiest fire, but that's just essentially all fireworks competitions right there. We already have that. Firemen, while training, probably have contests amongst each other to see who can put out the training fire the fastest, so you can run up the building and run, get in there and get the hose in there. But you know, it's just not the same. That's more of a water sport. That's more like an endurance water sport. Personally, I'd like to see fire more incorporated into our daily lives, either as a decoration or as an art form, and you know, not just as a functional thing. You know, we just use it for heat. We have fire in our furnaces and we have fire in our stove, but we just use it for stuff. We don't just look at it and think, hey, that's cool, or anything like that. And if you think about it, if you have a gas stove, that's awesome. Blue fire. It's blue fire. The fire is blue. That's a beautiful thing. One thing that I have been thinking about for a long time is some kind of musical instrument that incorporates fire. Now, how would that work exactly? Well, I don't know. But I have been thinking about it for a long time, and I actually, at some point in time, had a little idea. An idea called the Fire Chimes. And I'll tell you all about fire chimes after the break. So, while I go see what the cat's yanging about and make some more tea, I want you to listen to this.
Spread power with words.
For the consciousness of the nation, you have the sounds of the Asian, the foundation.
I hate you all so much.
No one cares, Figgis. You're only invited to round out the numbers.
Well, I'm back, and I hope... Yes, hello. Hello. You're Hello Kitty. Yes, you are. And my name is Tobe. You're listening to the Dubious Goals Committee right here on Anon Radio. And before we went to break, you might remember that I mentioned something called the Fire Chimes. So, now I'm going to tell you all about them. Some years ago, when I was living in the shadows of Mutual of Omaha, there was a bar within walking distance, just about a block away, that decided that they were going to start having music in the evenings. They were going to start having bands come and play for the enjoyment of patrons and everyone else. So, to make a long story short, I decided... Okay, sounds good. Sign me up. And I booked a couple of gigs. Now, this is only interesting because I didn't even have a band. But I've done this before. I can put a band together. I can generate a show pretty quickly. So I did. And I contacted my friend Doug and I said, guess what? You're in my new band. And being as he doesn't play any musical instruments, he said, yeah, what does that entail exactly? And I said, nothing you can't handle. So that's how we started this band. And in this band, I decided we were going to have plenty of visual elements just because this was going to pretty much be an all-electronic band and... there's nothing to watch when there's just sequencers playing music and guys going ding, ding, ding on keyboards and playing electronic drums and stuff like that. So, we decided we were going to invent some instruments and just make some weird stuff so people would have something to look at it and go, huh, what are these weirdos doing? So, I came up with the idea of having some fire chimes. I wanted to incorporate fire into the show, and so I thought the best way to do that is, okay, we'll build a rack of chimes, and somehow we'll have fire coming out of the top of them, and then we can play these chimes as part of the music. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen orchestral chimes before, but basically all they are is a rack, a standing up rack of metal tubes that are hanging down, okay? And you hit them with a mallet and they go bong and they sound really cool. So we set about building our chimes, and the way we did this was Doug built a rack out of copper and soldered it all together and made it so it was easy to disassemble and reassemble. And then we took three large cardboard tubes. They were, you know, the cores from large-scale paper copiers. And drilled some holes in them so we could hang them on this rack. And we painted them gray. We painted them sort of a metallic gray, even though they were just cardboard. And the whole idea here was that we were going to put some triggers on these cardboard tubes so that when we hit them, we could trigger a synthesizer, and then the synthesizer setting would be some chime kind of sound. But it wouldn't be a pure chime sound, it would be the fire chime sound, right? So I decided, oh, I'll take a typical sort of bell or chime sound, and then I'll just modify the patch so it sounds a little bit weird, and maybe it goes woo 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 or something like that, and you know, that will be the influence of the fire. But I can hear you asking, Tobe, you haven't said anything about fire. Okay, well, after I came up with the whole idea of fire chimes, my idea was, okay, somehow we'll have fire and it'll make weird sound. And then I realized, no, this is going to have to be for show only. And so the fire chimes were basically cardboard tubes, and then I took some coat hangers and bent them into little racks to stick in the top of the tube, and then that enabled us to drop cans of Sterno into the tops of the tubes, and you could light those on fire, and then we'd have these nice little blue flames coming out of the out of the tops of these tubes. Yeah, it's stupid, I realize that, but it's also funny. And to make matters worse, or to really confuse people, Doug had this spare tank, and it was the type of tank that looks like a propane tank, but it wasn't for propane. I think it was actually for Freon or something, like a coolant for, and this was like a tank for a refrigerator or something like that. It was kind of small, it was pink. And we hooked this tank up to these cardboard tubes. And when I say we hooked them up, we took a guitar cord and stuck it into the valve of the tank, and then taped the other end of the guitar cable onto the inside of one of these chimes. And so that gave the visual proof of where the fire was coming from. Obviously, here's a tank of gas, okay? And so the entire theory behind the fire chimes was, oh, people will see us hitting the things and they'll think it's, you know, like a regular chime, but they'll see the fire and we'll call them the fire chimes, and people will then hear this weird sound and they'll assume that somehow this fire at the top of the chime is making the chime sound uniquely. And of course it's all BS. It's a complete fraud. Because that's what I am. So anyway, we build these chimes. They look cool. We had to sort of modify how they worked. We couldn't get any MIDI triggering to work, so we had to go with analog triggers. And we would just take piezo elements and wire them up, stick them to the tubes, and then run the triggers to a drum pad that could convert the analog trigger to a MIDI signal, but we could only get two of them to work. And so we ended up having to kind of fake it, but I'll get into that in a minute. So we actually had it so this thing would go dong and make an interesting sound hitting a cardboard tube, and yeah, bong. It worked pretty good. So everything works fine in rehearsal, and so the show finally arrives. The day of the show comes. We take the gear down to the bar, we set it up, and we raise the curtain. Since we could only get two of the chimes to work, our strategy now was going to be, I was going to be the guy playing the chimes, and so whenever I had to hit the third chime, the one that didn't actually sound, Doug would actually just watch me and then hit a key on the keyboard that would play the fire chime sound. And the other two, they, you know, they sounded normally. But as soon as I hit that third one, he'd have to hit a key. Okay, so the gig's going great. Everybody's loving it. The show's coming off without a hitch whatsoever. Everything is perfect. And people are going, woo, I'm freaking out. And it's a typically awesome Taube show, regardless of how cheap and cheesy it was. And then the time came to actually play the song that incorporated the fire chimes. So we get everything ready. I do the little introduction to the song and tell people that, oh, this song features our homemade instrument, the fire chimes. And I gesture to it and it's all dramatic. I gave Doug the signal, the lights dimmed, the main sequencer started, and he started playing his drum part or his bass part or whatever it was that he was supposed to be playing, and I started playing the fire chimes. And everything's going great for the first 10 seconds, and then I realized the most critical mistake I have just made. I forgot to light the fire chimes. Oh my God, the most key ingredient. At this time, Doug has noticed it too, and he's looking at me. So I'm like, uh-oh. So I just act like everything's normal, and I light the fire chimes. I just take a match, strike it, hold it above the chimes, and poof, poof, poof. Blue flame shoots up. I go back, grab my mallet, and we continue the song, finish it up. Everybody goes nuts. It's great. We finish the gig. And, you know, applause. There will be no encore because we have no encore. Blah, blah, blah. It was a great show. And except for me forgetting to light the fire chimes, everything was perfect. But here comes the kicker. So after the show, we're sitting around in the bar with a bunch of friends, a whole load of people, including one guy who, let's just say he's overly enthusiastic. And it came to the point where we were talking about me forgetting to light the fire chimes. And I was like, oh, I can't believe I forgot to light the fire chimes, like the most important thing to do in the show. And Doug's like, yeah, you're an idiot. Bah! And we're laughing. And this guy, the enthusiastic guy, says, oh, I thought that was great because, you know, I heard the difference after you lit the fire chimes. Let me repeat that. This guy said that he could hear the difference that the chime made after it was lit on fire. And you'll remember that this is a complete fraud. The fire does absolutely nothing. It's completely and entirely cosmetic. It's only there for looks. But the illusion was so convincing that this guy honestly heard a difference in the sound of the chime from when it was not lit to when it was lit. And Doug and I just looked at each other and we just psychically laughed back and forth. And to this day, whenever we're telling the fire chime story, usually it's because we're talking about that guy and not because we're talking about old band antics. Everybody completely bought the illusion. It was like a magic trick. And I should mention that the name of this band was Mindshaft. MindShaft. So yeah, we were giving people's minds the shaft in that show. It was mostly illusion. All except for one person. One person did in fact see through the illusion of the fire chimes, and that was my very great and probably the coolest friend I have, Lash. Lash came to the show, and he was sitting kind of right by the fire chimes up in front, and before the show, he pulled Doug over, and he said, why is there a guitar chord coming out of that gas tank? And Doug just went, shh. And Lash was like, yeah, okay, we'll tell you about it later. And later on, he came up and he's like, that was awesome. You guys rock. Yeah, we pulled the wool over a few people's eyes that day. That was a good show, though. That was a good show. Oh, that was nuts. Yeah, that show was called Bonto's Journey. And my real favorite part, other than the fire chimes, was the bumble waltz. And when Bonto runs into the bumblebee says, so I see things in a different light. And that's when all the house lights and all the stage lights go out and all the ultraviolet lights come up. And that's when you see us and we're painted up in invisible ink. That was my personal favorite part because that was also a pretty good song. But, you know, I'd love to sit here and explain the show to you, but I'm afraid that I have run out of time once again. It's getting close to 2000 hours UTC, so I got to go. Who am I, you ask? Well, my name is Tobe. I'm the frontman for that band, Mindshaft. I'm also the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, the daily meeting of which you've been listening to right here on Anon Radio. Please join me again tomorrow and every day at 19:30. All right, what day is it? Is it... yes, today is a barnacle day, so stay tuned right after this for the sound show, genre mix and discussion, starring DJ Barnacle. As for me, I'm out of here. Bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.